Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoeffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. We gratefully acknowledge contributions to sustain the Infrastructure Show from Dr. Robert Peskin, Dr. Raymond Ellis, and Andrea and Ron DeFeo. The Chicago Transit Authority's $2.1 billion Red and Purple Line Modernization Project, the RPM, will restore and expand capacity along a 5.6-mile elevated rail corridor on the north side of the city. The project includes reconstruction of elevated structures and four stations and replacement of the signal system. The 6-year project will remove a failing embankment and return land to the community. Here to talk with us about this important project is Grace Ohs. Grace is Chicago Transit Authority RPM Vice President and Project Lead. Grace earned her Bachelor of Science degree in Civil Engineering from the University of Illinois. Grace, I'm really happy to talk with you about this interesting project.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be here today.
So go back to the beginning. What were your objectives and motivation in doing this project?
Yeah, so RPM, the program is to rebuild the Red Line and Purple Line from Belmont all the way up to Linden. And it's part of our Red Ahead program, which is a comprehensive program to rebuild the Red Line, which is CTA's most heavily used line of our 8 lines, and is in need of repair and expansion and adding accessibility to the stations. So our goal with RPM Phase 1 and the RPM program overall is to expand capacity, improve accessibility, and then a lot of customer-facing things, improving the customer experience and improving reliability and speed of service. And we also want to modernize our facilities, work on our state of good repair, and we want to support economic and community development in the areas that we're rebuilding.
So that's a lot of things to do with one project, but it's a big project. Were there manifestations that there was a need to rebuild? I mean, what was the condition before you began?
Much of what we're building is over 100 years old, and we were having, maintenance done. Our maintenance costs were going up. And at that time, too, FTA had a program, Core Capacity, which is a complementary program to their New Starts program, which allows legacy rails like CTA to have the opportunity to get federal funding to rebuild aging infrastructure. So the funding sources were there. The need had been identified for a while. And once we had the funding mechanism, we were able to get going on this phase of the project.
So what part of the funding? So the number I quoted was $2.1 billion. Does that go all the way up to Linden, to the end of the line, or is that just the section that you're working on now?
Yeah, that $2.1 billion is just phase one. Phase one is the first phase, and we do already have underway, looking at the next phases of RPM. But $2.1 billion is just for this first phase. And this first phase includes both a new bypass track down for Brown Line trains down at Belmont, and then also we are rebuilding from Leland up to Ardmore, the track, and new stations in the northern half. We're also modernizing our signal system from Belmont all the way up to Howard as well, which allows trains to move faster.
And what fraction of the total cost is coming from the Federal Transit Administration, FTA?
$957 million committed from FTA.
So on the order of $1 billion from the feds?
Yes.
Okay. Does that go all the way up to Linden, or that's just phase one?
No, that's just phase one.
That's phase one.
For phases, the funding and all of that details to be determined. But we are in the initial planning phases to get ready for the future phases.
Okay. And my recollection is the entire section is elevated, was elevated before. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. CTA is a variety of track structures, but in this case, we had elevated steel structure, but also elevated retained embankment as the structure types in this area we're renewing.
And that you said earlier that was on the order of magnitude 100 years old.
Yes. So well past its intended lifespan by probably about 40 years. We were maintaining it, but without this project, right, we were going to have concerns about continuing service in the long run and maintaining that.
But the new design is a different design. It's pre-stressed, precast concrete. Am I right?
That's right. It's a new structure type to CTA. It was brought to us by the design build team, Walsh Floor, and their designer, Stan Tech, as an alternative technical concept. So as part of doing this project as a design build, we did have allowable structure types, and this was not one of them, but they were able to present it to us kind of as, you know, something that differentiated their proposals from the other proposals and really probably ultimately gave them advantage over most of the other proposals at that time in terms of cost, schedule, and really presenting a modern solution to CTA.
So all the old steel structure goes out and the retained embankment goes out as well and is replaced. Is that right?
That's right. So we're able to do the work in phases. So we are able to continue to run trains. This corridor has four tracks, so we are able to put our service on two of the tracks and put in some temp stations and other things for customers to continue to ride. And we rebuilt each portion two tracks at a time.
So you did you take new space, new land in order to do this, or you just simply replaced structure that was there?
Yeah, so we did have a limited take of new space and some building demolition, but that was really limited because in the end, much of the expansion we had to do, which was mainly because we need wider platforms for accessibility, we were able to build over public way, being an alley that existed along the west east side of our tracks there.
But at the same time, you removed retained embankment.
We did. And that we had some removal as part of this alternative technical concept. The designer and contractor had some removal of embankment to get equipment up. To drill caissons. We had some removal for the new stations and things like that. But we had a mitigation in place where we were going to just kind of not fully demolish that embankment, but leave it in place. And subsequent to that decision, we've since decided to fully remove the embankment, which has really benefited the constructability of this second stage of the project, not to have the embankment there while they're constructing the project. And ultimately, it will return space that was originally not accessible to the community back to the community and provide benefit, you know, kind of driving our goal to support economic and community development in this project area.
I've seen the scene. I've ridden through it and passed it. It's an extraordinary change for the community to remove that embankment.
It really is. When you see the difference, it's quite striking. The new structure, you know, has much more aesthetic qualities to it, I think, too. And it has increased clearance over the roadways, which was one of the other benefits of the project. We had a lot of low clearance viaducts within this project area, and routinely trucks either had to take different routes or would hit the bottom of that viaduct. But we've since gone to a standard 14.5-foot clearance over all those roadways as well.
Yeah, that's going to save some trucks getting stuck under the old structure. What was the condition of that embankment? All other things considered, did it need work? Did it need to be replaced?
I think we were doing repairs as necessary as the wall was, you know, had issues. So we would see some steel plates up there secured to help in areas where we're seeing the wall degrade. I think in the end, the condition, you know, was probably towards the end of its really useful lifespan there. And ultimately, we had thought we could do cosmetic repairs to it. we weren't going to rely on it structurally anymore, but we had thought we could do cosmetic repairs to the wall and leave it in place. And that just wasn't feasible. The wall had a lot of, I guess, freeze-thaw, different issues with the wall that required us to remove it rather than try to repair it.
When you excavated that material, were there any surprises? Did you find anything there that you didn't think would be there?
You know, we talked about that a lot as a risk, but in the end, you know, very minor things were found. You know, I think there was uncertainty about what kind of fill would be in there and what back, you know, 100 years ago they used as fill and where they sourced it from. I mean, there was some timber down there. You know, we got a couple very minor claims from the contractor to remove things that were unexpected, but there was nothing, I guess, unusual down there in the end.
Where were the concrete beams cast?
The segments that we used were cast in Morris, Illinois by UCP and trucked up to the site. We had, you know, over 1,500 segments cast down there, and they got that casting done significantly before we installed the segments. We just finished installing our last segment at the beginning of November.
Were there any issues associated with trucking them through the city to the job site?
You know, they had to work around getting the permits they needed to truck them. I think, you know, in retrospect, that it is a ways to truck from Morris to Chicago. And, you know, had this been the idea from the beginning, CTA might have looked for a way to establish a closer facility that could have cast these. But overall, that went fairly smooth. I mean, there's certainly challenges once they got to the city where they could stage and wait to be unloaded.
Did you make any significant changes in the station design by rebuilding them?
Yeah, the stations are what we consider our modern stations. They're accessible stations. They're still on the smaller scale. These are, you know, stations that see lower ridership than stations like Belmont or Fullerton. But, you know, just modern facilities and escalators in all of them, which was something we kind of took away from Wilson, that, you know, many people, while they may be able to go upstairs, would prefer to ride an escalator up. And these platform heights are higher. So while they might not take an elevator or need an elevator, they still could benefit from the escalator. So that's one of the upgrades we made in these stations.
And they're all ADA accessible?
They are. I mean, accessibility is one of the main benefits of this project. These were four of the oldest stations on the Red Line.
Given that you have a concrete now of an all-concrete structure there, did that affect the way the track design and installation was done?
It did, and I think that's what makes, you know, this maybe more complex than a bridge. The interaction with the rail is something that had to be looked at, and even looked at in a phased approach as the rail's installed. You know, we have direct fix track work in this project, which means we are pouring in place plinths and then putting plates on that and then installing the rail on top of those plates. And those plates allow the rail to move, but there's also forces within that rail that the bridge has to account for.
So it changes the ride quality, doesn't it?
It does. It's a much smoother ride. There's no joints also in this rail. This is continuous welded rail. So there's not those joints that you would go over in other sections of our system. And so, yeah, it's a much smoother ride, overall quieter, and we're really happy with the end result.
Yeah, it's interesting. It affects both the riders and the neighbors. Do you hear anything from riders about ride quality on the CTA?
You know what? I've not heard anything specifically. I do know that people have ridden it related to the project, you know, are noticing the difference in ride. And, you know, obviously we replaced a portion kind of in between. So we transitioned from steel open deck to this new structure. And then we go back to the retained embankment on the north. So you get you get the experience. If you ride the train, you'll get the experience of the different track structures.
Yeah, it really makes a difference. I have ridden it, and it's to me, it's extremely noticeable. A much better ride quality on the new structure. Does the CT own or use a track geometry car to test ride quality?
You know what? We do run that, and I think that we rent that or have a contract under which it's run. But we do run that, and we've run it through these areas too, as part of our ongoing kind of maintenance and inspection program.
Do you have a sense of what the community is going to do with the land that's been released from the removal of the embankment?
Yeah, I mean, we are, we've had talks with the community. We've had two series of public meetings to get feedback from the community, and we're kind of finalizing the concept there. But our intent, you know, is to bring enhancements that improve customer experience on transit, kind of connect us more to businesses and residents and the community itself. And, you know, I think there's a shift right now to talk about transit and how we can improve safety on transit. And I know that RTA, you know, has looked at new initiatives to pilot ways that community plan programming can improve safety. And so what we do intend is to provide spaces for programmed events and things like that that really foster kind of a presence around transit and also, you know, a destination for transit riders.
Does CTA retain ownership of the space where the embankment was?
We will. We'll retain that. You know, we may explore some leases to adjacent developments. We often do that. Down in the other project area down at Belmont, we largely programmed the space under the L there for parking that we felt was necessary to support some of the planned developments that will happen after the project's completed. But we always like to retain ownership. Somebody just recently told me, you know, we're going to have to rebuild it again, you know, in 100 years. So got to plan ahead too. So we'll retain ownership of the property.
Yeah, you do need to look ahead, but that's pretty far ahead. What were the challenges of doing this rebuild under traffic? Where you didn't shut down anything as far as I could see.
Yeah, we did have to close some stations and open some temporary stations within that footprint. But that's something, you know, CTA, while, you know, Walsh Floor brought forth this alternative technical concept for the precast segments. You know, CTA really worked very hard at the planning phases to figure out how we could do this project. And we really looked back at other construction projects. We had Brown Line expansion back in the mid-2000s. We had recently done Wilson, which was both a station project and a rebuild of track and structure there. And so we wanted to maximize the contractor's access, but at the same time, you know, maintain the critical service we need to. So that actually required us to do quite a bit of advanced what we call the pre-stage work to the project, and we put in two new interlockings of special track work to move the trains onto the tracks in phases. And down in RPB, we built, in the first milestone, we built the bypass track, which goes up and over the red and purple lines there. And that kind of eliminated, you know, one train line from needing to be impacted as we rebuilt those tracks underneath. So there was quite a lot of planning that went into that phase construction.
Were there any big surprises for you as a project manager in putting this together?
When we started the project, we did try to envision the end. And now as we're getting to the end, it is both, you know, welcomed that we are nearing the final year of construction here. But it is also surprising to see how much we've accomplished. I think when I see that brown line train go up and over the red and purples, we know how much benefit we've brought to riders and the community. So I think it is hard to envision the end of the project at the beginning, and these long projects, 5 years, they seem, while you're in the middle of them, like they're never going to end.
But it is coming to an end, and it's a really interesting project. For those of us that have had the opportunity to ride through this section of track, you can really see the improvements, and you brought them to the community as well by opening up the space that was consumed by the structure. Grace, we really appreciate your sharing this experience with us. I'm going to go back and ride the line again and remind myself to look out the window and appreciate the work that you and your colleagues have done. So thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, Joe. Enjoyed talking with you.
Very good. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Infrastructure Show.
If you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did, please subscribe to our podcast and encourage your friends to join us too. The Infrastructure Show is recorded at the Studio Media Recording Company in Evanston, Illinois, under the direction of Scott Steinman, recording engineer with a commitment to great sound. Our producer is Marion Sowers, a journalist with a passion for infrastructure. And I am Professor Joseph Schoeffer. Few people are more curious about infrastructure than I am.